Let's head back now to the city of Oakland. It's become one of the focal points of the Occupy movement. Last weekend, protesters rallied, trying to take over the vacant Henry J. Kaiser Convention Center. There were acts of vandalism and violence, and some broke into and entered City Hall. More than 400 people were arrested, the most in a single day since Occupy Oakland began. You may support the movement, you may not, or you may take this point of view.
I'm for the 99% asterisk, except some people. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, it's like I want to be able to be for the 99% except for human resources and the yoga people and Jessica from high school because she broke my heart.
That's local comedian Nato Green. He, along with W. Kamau Bell and Janine Brito, are Laughter Against the Machine, a comedy troupe of sorts that believes that you can laugh and think at the same time. Laughter Against the Machine has been traveling the U.S., filming a documentary of the most politically polarized places in the country. It took them to New Orleans, Occupy Wall Street, and Tucson, Arizona. And now, they're back here in the Bay Area. Nato Green and Janine Brito join me now in studio. So, tell me, how did this all get started?
So Laughter Against the Machine was started by Nato and Kamau through some frustrations that they had performing for liberal audiences, where they found that it ended up being that the liberal audiences didn't actually want to be challenged or hear smart comedy. They just wanted to hear a lot of cheerleading. And that's certainly not what any of us would want to do. And so we kind of came together under the banner of Laughter Against the Machine, where it's, you know, socially conscious political comedy, where we kind of warn everyone up front that you're not going to like everything you hear, but we hope that you appreciate being challenged in your own views and appreciate us as comedians pushing ourselves to be honest about what we're saying and to not have any limits on ourselves as artists and what we talk about and what we say.
When Janine says audiences aren't necessarily going to like everything they hear, what does she mean, do you think, Nato?
That, you know, frequently, I mean, and this is sort of a famous stereotype of the left, but liberals and people on the left will sort of quibble with you about, like, even though I agree with you on 90% of the thing, because you're not a vegan or because you didn't say something that I liked about recycling or, you know, whatever, that people will go south on you if you aren't sufficiently reverential of their pet issue. And so we just want to be clear that it's sort of the idea is like a free-for-all engagement with ideas, and that we're, you know, we're responsible about it. Like we're never going to try to say, hey, we're just kidding, it's okay. Like everything that we talk about are things that we actually sincerely care about, and we're also trying to communicate ideas in a funny way. It's not the role of the comedian to be the leaders of the movement or the spokesperson for the cause.
But tell me about this cause. You guys just actually finished a multi-city tour. Tell me why you chose to do that, where you went, and what it was about.
So we've been building Laughter Against the Machine in the Bay Area, and we made some forays out to Portland and Seattle and things like that. And then this last year decided that we wanted to do a national tour. And the idea of it was to go to places in America that represented major political themes and learn about the issues. We had a documentary filmmaking crew with us from the people on the front lines and then do shows so that if we were going to talk about the big issues of the day that every comedian or lots of comedians talk about, that we would have some firsthand experience to make sure that we knew what we were talking about and that it was rooted in our own experience of those things. So we went and crossed the border in Arizona and learned about the immigration situation. And we went to the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans. And we went to a mosque in Michigan. And we did shows in all those places. And that was really the sort of the inspiration for the tour. And then in the middle of it, Occupy Wall Street started and sort of changed the whole context of it.
That's Nato Green. He's one third of the comedy troupe Laughter Against the Machine.
I'm probably 40% by weight.
And Janine Brito, who's maybe 20% of it by weight, is also here. What's one of the main memories you bring back from that 7-city tour?
In Arizona, we went to watch the Operation Streamline take place in a courthouse in Arizona, which is essentially where dozens of undocumented workers are processed and criminalized within a matter of 20 minutes. What I remember is the three of us walked out after watching this horrible process and just saying, all right, we need to grief eat. And so we found the nearest cafe and just got a pile of just chocolate and chips, and we were just kind of broken as comedians. We were like, comedy's broken now. And we were just sitting there. And eventually, over the course of eating a bunch of starch and chocolate, we started laughing and joking, and comedy kind of repaired us again at the end of the day.
And then you passed out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we sugar crashed and took a nap.
How do you make comedy out of a situation like that?
Well, we all started noticing things, right? Like the amount of money that is wasted on policing the border would be better spent, instead of building a wall along the border, just lining the border with bags of cash for migrants to go and pick up.
It would be cheaper than the current.
A cheaper and more efficient use of the American tax dollars than incarcerating people. We also learned that Arizona is like number 48th in public education and number one in angry, mean old white people in the nation.
We're here with Nate O'Green and Janine Brito, along with W. Kamau Bell. They are Laughter Against the Machine. Let's hear a clip from one of your tours. This is Nate O'Green performing, discussing the 99% of the United States.
Really excited by the idea of being the movement of the 99%. We are for the 99%. That's inspiring, isn't it? It's also a lie, because I want to be for the 99%, but I don't know if you realize this, that's a lot of people, including a lot of
and most of that's Nate O'Green. He's part of Laughter Against the Machine. So it's always struck me about how the 99% is really a lot of people. How did you grasp upon that concept?
Well, like I said, a lot of the humor that has come out of the tour has been from our firsthand experience. So there was one night towards the end of October where we heard that Occupy San Francisco was going to be raided, and I went down there. And at the time, it was during the mayor's race, and so a lot of the candidates for mayor were there. Half the board of supervisors were there, and we stayed there all night. And it was like this big sort of reunion of the progressive movement in San Francisco. And I was talking to some of my friends. And I was looking around and being like, "Wow, it's so inspiring that the progressive movement can come together like this. I wish some of these people would leave." So it was, you know, that joke came out of my own soul searching about, you know, my own difficulty of embracing that idea of being for the 99%. And one of the things that we all learned from the tour is, in some ways, you know, the most radical stance anybody can take is, you know, it's got to work for everybody. Do you know what I mean? That everybody in, nobody out, and that's hard, because we're all, you know, petty, vindictive people who have shortcomings. And we're like, oh, really? Everybody? Come on now.
Let's hear part of Janine Brito's routine, one of her comedy sketches. This is Janine Brito from Laughter Against the Machine.
They will be good and kind. No one will know who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist won't even know they're the Antichrist. And immediately I thought, oh, I'm the Antichrist.
What is the context of that joke there?
The context of that joke, I actually grew up in a very religious household, and I went to church every week. At one point, I was going to church three times a week, and specifically started out in a Pentecostal household. And the story of that is basically a very vivid memory I have of yet another fire and brimstone sermon where the pastor said, was talking about how the Antichrist will come back and walks among us and will fool everyone, and no one, they won't even know they're the Antichrist, and me as a little girl sitting in the pews being like, oh my God, it's me.
I'd like to know why you think it's important to do issue-oriented comedy. A lot of comedians end up just talking about, you know, relationships, say, but you guys are getting deeper into it. In fact, the purpose of your tour around the country, even the name of your troupe, is purpose-driven. Tell me why it's important to bring comedy to issues.
It became clear to me that there's this big disconnect where, you know, they're on the front lines of trying to make the world a better place. And if you ask them, they would say, of course, comedy has a role because it brings people together and it cuts through the nonsense and gets to the heart of the matter. And it's a way of communicating ideas that people aren't necessarily as defensive about hearing. You know, and you can be irreverent and you can be fearless in sort of toppling the icons of the day. And yet those people, you know, even though when we asked them, they were like, yes, of course, comedy can do all these things, don't tend to go to comedy shows. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're trying to build is sort of create more of a sense that, you know, that comedy can and should, doesn't have to just be sort of escapist entertainment.